The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Half nine, it's Tuesday morning. We are so happy you're with us this morning. 51551 is the text number. John Wake, good morning to you. Nice to talk to you.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you.
You are a former Great British Bake Off winner. How old were you when you entered the competition, John?
Oh, I was a little tiny thing. I was 23 and it was 7 years ago, so it feels like a lifetime ago.
I can imagine. But and at 23, what made you think, I know this program? It was only the third season, but it was still hugely popular. What made you think, I could do this, I can bake my way to success?
I don't know. I guess it was just youthful arrogance or maybe ambition, you know, unbridled, bold ambition. But I just enjoyed food and I enjoyed baking and I enjoyed the show, and so I just thought, why not go for it? You know, life is far too short not to give it a try. That's my motto. And luckily, it still is my motto. I'll do anything once.
Worth a go. And had you been a student before at 23? Had you got a degree or an education?
Well, I'd already dropped out of university and started again. So I was like a late comer to university. So during the Bake Off finals, I was actually doing the finals of my law degree at the same time. So it was a pretty hectic few months for me. It was pretty crazy. But I managed to get through both.
Okay, and with that, that's very impressive, I might say, spinning two plates, if I may. But with that in mind, you were obviously recording the Great British Bake Off. Clearly, it's not live, but when do they put the programme together in advance of broadcast?
So we started filming on Easter Friday, actually, in 2012.
Yeah.
It was then 10 weeks every weekend from that date. So we probably wrapped in the middle of June, start of July. And then it was broadcast from August to October. So it's done about 3 months in advance.
And how was it for you as an experience?
I really enjoyed it. You know, a lot of the other bakers found it quite stressful. But I found it was a really great bit of time away from my degree and from the exams and from the grueling tasks of university. So I actually quite enjoyed going down to Bristol every weekend and having a little bit of time out. But it was after the Bake Off that it was tricky. You know, after you've won, you've got all these opportunities and stuff, and there's nobody there to hold your hand and help you.
Yes, and that is exactly the sort of line, I say that respectfully, that we've heard more recently from people who are involved in reality TV programmes. Let's call up the more slightly more glamorous, if you like, ones, whether it's Love Island or Big Brother,
yeah,
or whatever, versus what I would call the Bake Off as a much more wholesome affair. And yet, it still puts you, John, as a winner, back, and we're going back, as you say, to 2012, in a spotlight and a limelight, the likes of which you'd never experienced and could not possibly anticipate in terms of its wattage. So how did you deal with it and realise this is big?
I don't know. I guess I just had to sort of take it as it came to me. It was like one of those Japanese game shows where they're walking along a tightrope with people throwing pineapples at them. It was that kind of thing. I only could continue. I could only go forward. It was difficult because at such a young age, I was offered crazy amounts of money for book deals and for recipes and things like that. But it was very easy at 23 to get carried away with that kind of lifestyle. But luckily, I had my partner and I had a family who were very, very sensible, and they kept my feet on the ground. So, you know, I did have safeguarding and welfare in place. But the more glamorous reality TV shows like Love Island, I can only imagine that it really does go to the contestants' heads and they get carried away with it. Because why wouldn't they? You know, this whole new lifestyle just comes, is thrust upon them. And it's a complete change and escape from the regularity and mundanity of everyday life. And it's very, very, it's very addictive. It really is. So, you know, it's really important, I think, that TV production companies have a lot more safeguarding and aftercare for the contributors, because they make so much money from these people, the TV shows. You know, they make a lot of money, and the people who go on the shows, they might make a little bit, but they're not going to last around. They're not going to be around forever. So there has to be a much more welfare and much more duty of care than there currently is, I think.
And can you give us a sense of what happened for you in your head and your mind when the spotlight then hit you?
So when it first hit me, I was like a rabbit in the headlights. I was overwhelmed.
Sure.
And then I realised that, you know, just go for it. I always knew at the back of my mind that it was going to fade away, that the lustre of being a Bake Off winner would slowly fade, that afterglow would dim. But it was still not, that's not to say I didn't enjoy it, because I did. But as the workload started to die down, that's when you really think, oh gosh, what am I going to do now? Because, you know, I've got a mortgage now, and I've got a lifestyle that I've become accustomed to.
Yeah.
So it's very easy to perhaps lose everything and lose your complete control. Luckily, I always saved half of everything for bills and for mortgage and all of that. I always saved half of everything I earned. So it's important to approach it very sensibly if you can. But it's very overwhelming. It's just a complete shock to the system. You know, you go to parties and people of quite high caliber want to talk to you, and you've got to remember that it's not because of who you are, it's because of what you've done. And it's really quite a cynical way of looking at it, but I think if you look at it with cynical eyes, you'll survive it. You know, you've got to be quite realistic about it. Don't get carried away.
That is such a salutary lesson to anyone of a certain vintage who would love it all. And I understand anyway from your past that you've struck me as being like a homing pigeon. Every time you drifted too far from home, you drifted emotionally, dare I say it, and that you were always drawn back to family, friends, place.
That's so true, yeah. Whether it was dropping out of university for the first time, you know, I went down south to university and I hated it, so I moved back up north. After the Bake Off, I moved to London and I realised that it's just not who I am. I'm a farmer's son, I'm a working class northern lad, and I'm proud of that, you know, and I want to be known for that. That's who I am. I'm not this glamorous celebrity who goes on all night benders. That's just not my cup of tea. I'd rather, you know, do a bit of gardening, play with the dog and get an early night.
Yeah, but because you've spoke very frankly and you've written frankly about, you know, life as a youngster and trying to confront the vagaries of emotional kind of loss or at least upset. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Do you mean is in depression or
yes,
sort of post? Yeah, I mean I've always had depression and I've always struggled with the low mood. And for me, the only way of combating that without getting too involved in medication and all of that, not that that's a bad thing, but you know, it's each to his own. The only way for me personally to deal with that is to have a strong network of friends around me. And it's very, very difficult to be a depressive because, you know, there's not much known about it. You know, a lot of people still say, it's that old mantra, isn't it? I don't understand it. And, well, that's not an excuse anymore. I've had enough of that. If you don't understand something and you continue talking about it, then you're talking in ignorance, basically. So I think we are now in a time, luckily, where much more is being done to promote and publicise mental health and to get more help for people and to try and reform what is currently quite an ignorant view of it.
And that's where, you know, the whole idea of mental health has become much more talked about. And you would hope that certainly for your generation, if I could say that, you know, particularly with things like Instagram and Twitter online, essentially being a subplot to people's stories nowadays, you've got to mind yourself more and tread more carefully.
You do. You have to be careful. You have to be very careful of what you say, you know, and how you approach things, because there's always going to be someone who's easily offended in life. You know, we've always, I think forever we've experienced those people who get offended by, you know, by hello.
Anything, yes.
Anything. But at the same time, there are people with grave sensitivities out there who need to be approached delicately, and they deserve the respect that they deserve. So it's striking the right balance of you know, of speaking freely, but also having respect for fellow humanity.
The balance, it seems to be what it's all about, John, with you, particularly when you think about now. You sound very content, very happy. You kind of got your life together, and you can marry the Great British Bake Off experience and the success that lies with it, and also have a life of your own. And you, in other words, you can do both when you get it right.
Yeah, you can do both. And I think what I would say to the contestants of every year of Bake Off and even Love Island, whatever, the person you are or the person you were before the show is the best version of yourself. It's the person you're always meant to be. And that's what I think. Just be yourself. Don't try and change to try and fit into a celebrity lifestyle. Just be who you are. Be true to yourself.
Yes, the celebrity lifestyle is bullshit, isn't it?
total bullshit. It's nonsense.
Yeah.
Basically, celebrities are just used by capitalist companies to sell soap powder. That's all it is.
Yeah, but if only if people had a taste of it, they'd realise it looks great. It should be great. You know, it's the opposite of the duck. It walks like a duck. It talks like a duck. It is. Sometimes it might walk. It's a bit like online. It's, and you know, so many, not all, but most influencers. You know, you're peddling essentially stuff you'd like people to buy that you got for free.
Exactly. It's a load of crap.
There's an awful lot of it about, but that's why we have to break it down and tell it like you're doing today. Tell it what it is. That lovely line you just said there about being the best version of yourself is the one before you went and became a thing.
So, totally.
So called.
Yeah, it's so true. You know, you are who you're meant to be, and just be content with that.
Now, how did you meet Paul?
Paul and I met on Facebook, actually.
Yeah,
I know social media can be.
No, you put the social in social media, John, let's face it.
Yeah, we met through friends, and we've just actually decided to get married after 11 years together. We're going to get married next year, which is exciting.
Next year, and the day?
We think it's going to be the 24th of October. It was going to be Halloween, but the venue we want is booked. So I'm either going to have to bump somebody off the mortal coil or just set up for a different day. I've not yet decided which path I'll take.
Great. But that's more happiness in your life. And I noticed you have a book as well.
Yeah, I keep against talking about the bloody book.
Flash in the pan, that's great, because that could describe fame, couldn't it?
Yeah, it's just simple. It is, and that was kind of why I wanted to write that book, because I wanted to use that title as well as a sort of subliminal message to people. It's all a flash in the pan. It's all nonsense. But also, good things can come out of that. You know, good things can come out of temporariness and transience. And this is the book for me. It's a quick and easy cookery book. Everything's cooked on the hob, on the stovetop, within 45 minutes. And the food's delicious as well.
I love an eaten mess, right? I think it's delicious. And you have rhubarb and matcha.
Yeah.
What's matcha? I don't know what matcha is.
Matcha is ceremonial green tea, so it's a very, very fine green tea. I think it almost tastes a bit like digested biscuits in a way.
Oh, that's good.
So it really marries well with the rhubarb. It's quite, it's got a very strong umami flavour to it, like, you know, a very mouth-filling feel. But it's used sparingly, it's delicious. It's a really good accompaniment to things like rhubarb and blackcurrant. So it's gorgeous.
And how about the coffee and cornflake French toast?
Oh, that speaks for itself, my boy.
Doesn't it, though?
Oh, it's so good. Because, you know, French toast is nice, but it can sometimes be a bit soggy. So throw cornflakes in there, and it's crispy, it's soggy, it's coffee-flavoured. With maple syrup on top, it's absolute heaven. I think a few people have said that is the only way that they will make French toast now, is by putting cornflakes on the outside.
They'll never go back after this.
They'll never go back.
Tex, great to hear John on the radio. He sounds like such a nice guy, and that's the way he came across on the show too. Loved watching him and James on the Bake Off that year. And it's not back on tonight, actually. Do you watch it, or is it kind of an old memory for you now, John?
No, I do watch it, but I watch it as a viewer now. For the first few years after Bake Off, it was very much, you know, I felt a little bit melancholy and a bit nostalgic for it. But now I've finally driven that wedge of distance in between me and the Bake Off to be able to enjoy it for what it is. And that's a TV show. You know, I'm no longer emotionally attached.
Yes, I understand entirely. And you, somebody, another text said, congratulations to John on getting married. Will he bake his own wedding cake?
I will, of course.
Will you? Can you give us an indication of what you're thinking?
Well, because we're having a Halloween wedding and we're having it in an old monastery in Manchester.
Great.
We're going to go for quite a spooky theme. So we're going to have a masquerade ball for the wedding. And we're getting married at twilight. So I'm going to do a very dark cake, a very black cake with skulls on there and stuff. So it won't be everyone's cup of tea, but screw everybody else, it's my wedding.
Well said, John. I like your style. Hey, it's been lovely talking to you. We'll see you back in Dublin sometime. If ever you're in town, call in to say hello.
I sure will. All right. Thanks very much.
Thanks, John. Mind yourself. John Waite there, former Great British Bake Off winner, joining us on the line there for a little catch-up on his world. It's a very popular programme indeed. And as I say, It's the wholesome end of things, no doubt about it. But funny him saying he couldn't watch Great Britain. I can't watch chat shows, strangely. I can't. It just feels like double mats. I mean, I love doing it. We're back on Friday and it's exciting, but I actually can't watch. I can watch ARC old ones, you know, but I actually can't watch all the American. And yeah, I don't, it's just, it's just, No. Talked about that another day. So that's that one. And what else did he say? There's loads of things we can come back to on that. 51551 is the text number. Rory's in Kerry, I should say. And he says, I animated some of the spiders in Harry Potter 2. How about that? And we studied them for several weeks. They are a marvel of engineering. A neurocenter at each leg. They carry their torso at a constant level, no matter how rough the terrain. Besides, my mother told me, if you kill a spider, there'll be rain that day. And I can't prove her wrong there. I've heard that. That one I've definitely heard. Money in a card. This is from Michelle Power on the subject of money in a card for the Debs. It's not just about the Debs night. I see it as a congratulations on getting through the last year in one piece and good luck starting out on your career, etc. So look, each to their own when it comes to these things. There's no law in the land to be worrying about. Right, 51551 is the text number at 14 minutes to 10.